So, how do the Wesley Mooches of today's big government restrict our lives? One regulation at a time. I'm here with Nick Gillespie of Reason TV. Reason's covered the ever-expanding nanny state for years. Why do you call it the nanny state?
We call it the nanny state because whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, a liberal or a conservative, if you're a politician, you pass all kinds of laws telling us what we can eat, how we can paint our houses, what we can smoke or where we can smoke, whether we can ride a bicycle without a helmet, all sorts of things. They're treating us like children. They're treating us like we are, you know...
It's for our safety.
You know, it might be for their safety, but there's, you know, safety... Let's say here, safety second, freedom first.
Okay. They do like to ban things. They pass new bans on smoking, on trans fat, on baggy pants. So many things someone wants to ban. And now one more. What the audience here knows and what most of you didn't know until now is that Nick and I have been getting pedicures. A pedicure from fish. These little fish nibble on your feet. They eat off the bad parts. This is how some people have gotten pedicures for hundreds of years, and fish pedicures are now popular in Asia. And today, some entrepreneurs have brought this to America. This man over here, John Ho, brought us these fish. This is your business. You have salons in Virginia?
Yes.
How many?
Three.
And people like this?
They loved it.
Why? Why?
Because it's different than a traditional pedicure. It's the only pedicure where you sit in the water and laugh and have a good time at the same time.
He charges $45 for this, and I'm told this is popular. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is that 14 states, we could call them nanny states, have banned them. Now, this is hardly a big infringement on our freedom, but it's indicative of how government...
Talk for yourself.
So why do they want to ban this? Well, our next guest will tell us, because he wants to ban it. Jeffrey Klein is a state legislator from New York. Actually, today he's in San Juan for a conference. He says fish pedicures are dirty, dangerous, and mean to the fish. So, Jeffrey, dirty, dangerous, why?
Well, John, let me just say, first of all, I'm a big fan of Ayn Rand, and I don't think you can equate a sanitary condition, in other words, legislating sanitary conditions, where you would be considered a looter or a moocher. This is an important health issue. People can get very, very sick. Presently in New York State, the nail and hair industry is very heavily regulated.
Has anybody gotten sick anywhere?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, there was a podiatrist, Dr. Robert Spaulding, who wrote a book that said that the practice of fish pedicures should be banned because you can't sterilize a fish between use.
Well, I guess it would kill the fish to sterilize them, but you,
exactly.
We could find no evidence of anybody getting an infection or having any problem. Paula Abdul lost a fingernail from a regular manicure. Should we ban all manicures?
Like I said, this is a very heavily regulated industry. This is something that's, I think, needs to be banned because it goes against the entire practice of being able to prevent cross-contamination through adequate sterilization of equipment.
But you have no evidence that anybody's died, anything's happened to anybody?
There was a lot of complaints in the states that actually had fish pedicures before they banned it. People got staph infections and other things.
You know, I'm having it done now. Feels good. I'm willing to take the risk. Isn't it up to me? Aren't you just a busybody taking away other people's freedom?
Yeah.
Well, again, I've prided myself over the years on not only taking on this specific industry, but also dirty supermarkets, dirty restaurants. I wrote legislation which requires that supermarkets post their most recent inspection results. We need to educate people. We need to let people know that some of the things that they do can make them sick.
Well, I guess we'll expect more regulations from you. Thank you, Jeff. Nick,
thank you, John.
What's your reaction?
Well, you know, I do want to point out that the fish have nibbled off my extra toes on each foot, so I'm very grateful. And my feet were, when I grew up in New Jersey, my feet were officially declared a Superfund toxic waste site, and this is helping them quite a bit. You know, there's a bunch of things in what the state senator was saying that are just wrong. First off, you don't need the government to do ratings. You know, and first off, when you talk about food, say restaurants or whatever, absent you know, a food inspector from the state who may or may not be on the take. When Los Angeles started its letter grade policy, immediately after that, there was a huge scandal there where it turned out a bunch of people were paying for grades and things like that. This happens all the time. Restaurants have a lot of information that goes out in newspapers. They send it out. Why wouldn't a private company actually start rating restaurants, which would have, you know, you could have more than one or two different certifications?
The private companies tend not to come in because they assume government's taking care of
it. All I'm saying is that a lot of things, and this is particularly true in an era of financial crisis where government, like other businesses, should be focusing on its core activities. Government doesn't have to regulate food businesses. Businesses will do that. Very few restaurants, very few manicure shops do well by killing their customers or making them sick. This is not a good business model.
Bigger rules. Smoking, passive smoke.
You know, passive
people
smoke,
like it.
Yeah, and this is also one of the things that, you know, I like it too. I'm not a smoker. I never was a smoker. I benefit from smoking bans. However, people who own businesses or people who decide to work at businesses should be able to make the choice to say, I want to do it this way or that way, as long as people know the risks. And this is part of the nanny state. What is strange is we are at a point in history where people are wealthier, relatively speaking. They're more educated. They're more in charge of their life across more different dimensions.
And living longer.
That's right. And now we're having government come in and people like New York State legislatures who cannot balance the budget, who are billions of dollars in debt, and are telling us, you know, leave the little fish alone. This is wrong. This is wrong. It's not their business, and it shouldn't be their business to regulate other businesses, especially now.
I would add to the smoking ban, it's the dictatorship of the majority. I like it. I don't smoke. But can't the smokers have some bars? And you were really wimps, you smokers. You just rolled over. But that's how it works.
You know, but again, the you know, and you can start small. I mean, if they're banning fish pedicures with little guppies or carps here, I got a feeling that the bikini lines with the piranha are not coming anytime soon. But this is part of the problem with the nanny state and with a prohibitionist mindset anyway. If consenting adults and informed adults who take responsibility for their lives and live with the responsibility of their actions, which is how we should live, want to do something, it's going to happen. You can ban something, and if people want it, it's going to create a black market, which creates far more problems, and it's much harder to regulate through the courts or through any other kind of contractual obligation.
To be continued. What do you think? Is intuitive to think we need the nanny state's rules to keep us safe? Without them, we'd do dumb things, hurt ourselves. I no longer think it's true. We ought to have the right to control our own lives. But next, your thoughts about that. How has the nanny state affected your life? Should government protect us from things that might be dangerous, like fish pedicures? I think most Americans would say yes, and maybe not fish pedicures, but would you stand up? You have a more reasonable thing you want to regulate.
Well, I think people should wear helmets when they're riding bicycles or motorcycles.
Nick Gillespie of Reason Magazine, what about that? You don't wear the motorcycle helmet, your head cracks open like a watermelon, and everybody else has to pay for that, and you're dead.
Yeah, John, you've zeroed in on one of the problems of the nanny state, which is that if we're going to say we're going to pay for everything bad that ever happens to anybody because of their own choices, then you have a claim to say, well, you shouldn't even be riding motorcycles then, because the fact is that if you're riding a motorcycle, you're more likely to be in an accident. The key, if you believe in freedom, if you believe in individual liberty, and you believe in choice and responsibility, and these things go together, then you have to say, let's give people more choices, but also more responsibility. And I think it should be up to the individual to decide, do I want to ride a motorcycle in the first place? Do I want to wear a helmet or not? Various states have different regimes for that type of thing. anything that multiplies an individual's choice is generally a good thing, as long as you're not sticking other people with the bill for your own decisions.
Well, but what about that? What about the greater good? What if you don't have insurance and you get an infection from this fish pedicure, or you ride that motorcycle and everybody else has to pay for you?
Here, if I get an infection from the fish pedicure, the person who's going to pay is the businessman, because nobody goes in and says, give me that infection. I would really like that as part of the pedicure package, right? So, you know, and which is different than other things. And there's no question that there's a role, a huge role in American life in capitalist societies for charity. All of the philanthropies came out of the wealth that was generated by capitalism. Poor people will not go starving, and they won't go begging for medical attention in a truly free society.
Another big one today is cell phone use in cars, and I use it in the car, and I'm distracted. You want that regulated?
To a degree. I want some things regulated to the extent that they infringe upon other people's rights. So if I'm driving down the road, some guy's on a cell phone, loses control, crashes into me, kills me, that's bad. You know, if he wants to do something self-destructive, which doesn't affect other people, I don't care what he does.
So how is... Thank you. I mean, how is that nanny state? It's not just about me as the driver. I might kill somebody else.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a couple things there. First off, that is not when you're talking about something where you're in, you know, that's like shouting fire in a crowded theater when there is no fire. It's in a public space, and it's different. The roads are different, for the most part, than an individual business or what you do in your own house. By the same token, we should look at the fact that, you know, distracted driving ordinances make sense, and it doesn't matter if you are driving under the influence of booze or drugs or texting or listening to music or whatever. If that's a factor in an accident, you should be held extra responsible for that because you've knowingly put other people at risk as well as yourself.
How do you hold someone extra responsible?
In the same way that if you get into an accident and you're straight, you know, you get one penalty. If you're drunk, you get an intensified penalty, which was not always the case. I think those types of laws make sense because you're knowingly increasing the risk not only for yourself but people around you. By the same token, a lot of these laws don't actually get to the point of, like, how do you actually control people's behavior? A lot of laws, like seatbelt laws, which makes sense. I always wear a seatbelt when I drive because it makes you a lot safer. You're much more likely to survive a crash.
Well, let me just stop you on that. Seatbelt law doesn't make you wear a seatbelt.
That's right.
Exactly.
The information of people making informed choices is what really dictates this thing. But what I was going to say is that with a lot of these laws that are put in there for our own good, they end up taking on different kind of tenors when you look at the way that they're practiced. So when seatbelt laws went from being what was called a secondary enforcement law, where if you got pulled over for something else and you weren't wearing a seatbelt, you could get an extra ticket for not wearing the seatbelt. Now virtually every state has them as a primary enforcement. So if a cop, you're driving by and a cop says, oh, I think you weren't wearing a seatbelt, they can pull you over. Or you're texting, or you're eating, or you're distracted driving. These types of rules inevitably end up affecting people who drive older cars, poorer people, minorities. They always get pulled over more. So the nanny state, even if you take its intentions as pure as the driven snow, a lot of the times the way that they play out is that they end up policing segments of the population who are already under all sorts of duress. This is certainly true with trans fat bans, which are always, they're always targeted, the way that the laws are written, to fast food places and to restaurants where relatively poor people, relatively powerless people eat. They don't go after Mario Batali. They don't go after Bobby Flay. They go after Arby's, and they go after, you know, an empanada stand.
They are another invitation for the police to come into your life.
It's one more pretext for the state, and the police are the agent of the state. You don't need to be paranoid about this, but there is no question. We live in this bifurcated world where on a certain level we have more control over how we live our lives, what kinds of books we read, what kinds of music we listen to, how we can express ourselves. And then you have, on the other hand, more and more centralized political power of all sorts trying to control our speech, control our thoughts, control our lives. And we always need to be struggling against that if we want to stay free. And I think we do, because freedom is the engine of progress. It's the engine of living a full life.
Thank you, Nick. We will keep covering the nanny state, as will Reason TV. Its website features a nanny of the month. Up next, hating capitalism and Atlas Shrugged.